Welcome to Northeast Nebraska's longest-running public affairs radio program. This is The View from Wayne America. From politics to education, from agriculture to business, you'll hear it all right here. Opinions expressed by our guests may not reflect those of this station. Now, turn up your radio and enjoy today's View.
The View from Wayne America. Enjoy the view.
And good morning once again, and this is Dan. As promised, Wes Blakey joining us this morning on The View from Wayne America. City Council did meet last night.
Good morning, Dan.
Good morning. Well, as you just mentioned, yeah, a lot of corners are being worked on this past week. So
you'll see a lot of things on along Highway 35 right now, and then it'll be north on 15 as well. That is not a city project.
Yeah, we're not paying for this one.
Well, we're paying for it, which is not the city is not paying the bill, but
right,
we all are paying.
Yes, we're all
But this is a state project, and I'm not exactly sure how it came to be or how long it's been in the plans. But when we did our curb wrap project 2 years ago, or so, they had mentioned that there was going to be some work being done, but I had no idea when it was going to happen. So, it's a nice addition. Obviously, no one likes the construction, but having ramps that are more accessible and new are always good. So
this is the handicapped accessible type deal.
What is this all about? They're going to start working north on 15 as well. So just be prepared to have some not necessarily stoppage, but just rerouting and be cognizant of that when it happens. Highway 15 is a little more difficult because it's not three lanes and you've got college students coming across there. So just watch out for pedestrians especially.
Okay, keep that in mind. You have some idea how long this is all going to take?
I don't, Dan. I don't. I assume by this fall, they'll be done this fall. I mean, you would sure hope so. But the way they've been, I can just estimate on how they've been doing other things. I would think within 2 to 3 weeks it'll be done.
Okay.
But if you have questions, I don't even know who it is at the state. Scott Brumman might be one to talk to. Dick Soden, somebody from the
Department of Transportation.
I'm not sure if they would know the time frame or not.
Okay. We'll live with it. It'll make things better for some people.
Like anything, it's always an inconvenience for a little while, and then we forget about the inconvenience, and it's nice going forward.
Sure. So. Okay. And the walking trail project was on the agenda, so you might as well, since we're talking construction.
Sure. The walking trail, we have every 2 weeks, we have meetings with the contractor and the engineer on that. We just had a meeting actually yesterday. The final date, per the contractor, they hope to be done the second week of November. So that's if everything goes well, they can get all their subs to do what they want them to do in the time frame that they're expecting. They're hoping the second week of November that project is finished at least substantially. Then they'll have to, there'll probably be some seeding and things like that they'll have to do some fine grading and stuff. But so hopefully by the second week of November, we're working through the Department of Transportation on a ribbon cutting. Trying to think November 13th or November 20th, we're hopeful for one of those dates. If they can come up and help us cut a ribbon and say trail's open, and also kind of celebrate the mitigation part as well under the bridge that has been closed since March of 19.
So it's all going to be done? Everything's going to be done?
All. That part is done. And open. Yep. So the rest of it should all be done by second week of November.
Okay.
So I guarantee as much as I can. I'm not in control of it, but that's what the latest word is.
Well, anything new on the underpass?
Underpass, you're talking Highway 15?
The one by the activity center.
That's the one that should be done by the second week of November, per the contractor yesterday. Now, we have a meeting in 2 weeks, Dan, so that can all change, but as of yesterday.
Okay.
That's the word. So.
Okay. Well, yeah, there's several things going on related to the walking trail.
Yep. No, it's a complicated project, lots of different things, but really that's kind of the focal point.
Yeah.
They call that a control point. And so the rest of the trail is poured. They have some hand pours to do and things like that, but that should be done in the next couple of weeks. Fine grading back, and so really the underpass area is what we're waiting on, or what we will be waiting on. The thing with that is you got to remember you've got trucks driving over this stuff. You've got to have it so strong it has to cure for so many days. It's not just concrete and let's go. You've got every phase has to be, you've got to have cure time on it. So It takes a long time.
Okay. Well, we'll allow them to do it right.
We want it to be done right. Yes, you're absolutely right.
All right. Well, let's see. Back on the agenda. Let's see. What else? Pine Heights Road Improvements.
Yes, Pine Heights. This is a project we've been talking about for a couple of years. We received some grant funding, I believe the spring or summer of 19 for this project. And so, you know, the good and the bad with grant stuff is you can only do so many projects at once. And it kind of dictates when you do the project. That intersection at 10th and Pine Heights has been bad for a lot of years, and we've known that. But when there's that carrot dangling out there that you might get some grant money for things, you hate to put all your money, your own money, into it. Mm-hmm. So in a project like this, it's going to be, we think, about $1 million project, and of that, we're going to have $400,000 of it paid for by the state and Fed. So, you know, that's, if you can get a 40% off on something, you try to do that. But Pine Heights will be just from 9th Street to 10th Street. We're taking in those two really bad intersections. Going to redo those. And then it'll be, oh, I'm going to say 50 feet to the north on Lilac. And then from that intersection at 10th and Pine Heights, it's probably about 200 feet to the west and about 100 feet to the, well, maybe I'm a little off there, or so, to the east. Trying to change a little bit of a grade coming over that intersection, better water, better drainage. Going to do some storm sewer work at the bottom of the hill there on 10th Street by just south of Beacon Park. And then we're going to replace water lines, upgrade water lines, get water lines out from underneath the street, which has been problems before for us. And then a sewer line that's been giving us some trouble as well with roots infiltrating. We have to cut those roots periodically. Also, we foam the line to try to kill the roots. And so, you know, over and over, you do that every couple of years. The new line with a tighter seal and all that will be much appreciated by not only the city, but by the residents up there as well. So that project is going to go out to bid here. It'll be advertised in October. I think we open bids first part of November for the council meeting in November. And the hope is it starts in April of next year and be done around October 1st of next year. So this will be a phased-in project. It's fairly complicated with water and sewer being done before the street. So there's a couple phases of we want to leave access as long as possible, but there's only sidewalk on one side of the street there. And so it'll be a coordinated effort that the engineer and contractor will have to do a good job of reaching out to people on all that. So
yeah, once it does start, it's going to be torn up for a while.
It will. Yeah. It'll be an inconvenient project. That's for sure. Mentioned last night, it won't be finished by the time college resumes. So that street is used a lot for parking.
Mm-hmm.
And which we're not obligated to provide that for college parking, but it does probably take, I don't know, 7-8 cars every day along that area. So that won't be allowed. But we'll get through it. Again, it'll be for about a month while school's in session.
Yep. We'll manage.
Yep.
Okay. What's next?
On the agenda, we had an engineering, again, trail, if you want to just go down the line. This was the trail.
Sure.
This was a change order for some additional engineering. We moved the trail in a couple spots away from the Logan Bank for safety reasons. We wanted to move it a little more inland, I guess you could say, and a couple of different areas. It was about a $6,000 change order that is paid for. The city's responsible for 20% of that. So that was approved last night as well. So I think that's it for trail stuff on the agenda or things I need to comment on. The next agenda item was a resolution updating the problem resolution team. If you don't know what the PRT is, that's what we call the problem resolution team. PRT is something that was created back in 98, and it was to address complaints, property complaints. And so the city wouldn't be going out and looking for properties that in disrepair necessarily. It would be more of a citizen complaint process. And so what's in line is that citizens make a formal complaint to the city, and then the city gives it over to the PRT. They look at things and try to work through the issues. And then if the city needs to get involved, ultimately it could turn into a condemnation and a raising of a building. That's the worst case scenario. Otherwise, it's, hey, you need to pick up these things around your house, or you need to replace that siding because there's a hole in it, or that window's out, or something like that. That's what this team does. So in 98, it was pretty specific on who would be on the team and that type of stuff. Fast forward here 22 years, things have changed. Some of those team members aren't around, or those positions might not be exact. For example, we had secretary of the public health board. Well, it so happens that is Marlon Chin. So the chief of police is being represented, the police department is. But to be specific on that, we just said a police representative. And then the mayor also has the leeway to appoint, I think, up to 5 at-large members. So if you would like to be involved in the PRT, you can contact City Hall, the mayor, to be appointed to that group. So it was that, and then also kind of a public awareness of we can't act on, Dan, you're upset, your neighbor's house is a mess. And so you write a letter to the city saying, please do something about this. We can't act on that. You need to tell us what's the code violation, or generically, hey, there's a window out or something. Well, we can then specify what that violation is, but you can't just say, the house looks bad or the neighborhood looks bad, please do something about it. I mean, you can say that, but we don't have anything to go on. But you need to put down, you know, an address and the violation or the issue you're having, mm-hmm. and then you have to sign the complaint. And so those are some things that some people just want to just make kind of a generic complaint. If you want the PRT to take action or to look into it, you need to follow some of these steps. And those steps were actually set in place in 2013. And so there's a resolution that delineated all that as well. So this was just kind of a reaffirmation of the team, changing up the membership a little bit. And then, again, to let the public know that this team is in place. And if you have those issues with certain properties, please don't be bashful to put something down in writing and let us know what the issues are, and then the PRT will look into it.
So okay,
if you have any questions about that, give me a call afterwards, or we have complaint forms if you want to do that. It's all about, you know, how can you beautify the community, but we don't want to just be a neighbor dispute, you know, that a spat that I don't like the color of your house. Well, we can't do much with that, but if there's 90% of the paint is off of the house, then there could be an issue with rotting and things like that we can address.
Okay.
So let us know if you have any questions about that.
Sounds good. Moving on.
Then we moved into parking.
Parking,
man.
Of course.
Parking.
Can't get through a meeting without talking about parking.
We had 3 ordinances on the docket for parking, and one was tabled and 2 were passed. So now we're all at the same timeline of all 3 of these have passed a second reading. And so why was it tabled? Just working through things. A lot of times you pass things along until the end, and then it's like, okay, now this is where the rubber hits the road and we need to make sure this is what we want. So there was still some discussion on where to allow parking, where not to allow parking. Do you just make a generalized, if it would have passed last night, it was no truck parking on any street. And I don't think that was necessarily what the council wanted. They want to have designated areas removed, because there were designated areas on South Pearl. South Pearl is really what brought this on. And they wanted to remove that part of it. So they looked at some things and threw some wording around, and the consensus was have the attorney, Amy Miller, go back, rewrite it to what the expectation was last night, and to have it come forward again. Instead of it was going to be kind of muddy to have her say, well, these are the things that need to be done on final reading last night. And so they said, let's table it, have her go back, look at it, and bring us a clean version. So if that all turns out, if they're happy with her wording that she brings back to them, I would assume that will pass next meeting on that. But you never know. If you have other issues with truck parking, please let council members know or show up to the meeting. The other two were specifically about the 2 areas that we were planning to take out of the designated areas. And those designated areas are that South Pearl area, and then also the 200 block of East 2nd Street. Those were ordinances relating to just those 2 areas. And so if they take those designated areas out of the ordinance, then this restricted parking will also be added. So it's kind of, it goes hand in hand with it. But again, if you have complaints about the process or about what we're doing with truck parking, don't don't hesitate to contact the city or your council members, because they bring those conversations back to council, and they let people know, hey, I had three people call me and they are not happy about this, or they think we should go a different route, or whatever it might be. And that definitely does influence the discussion. So don't hesitate to contact your council members.
Okay.
That's what they're there for.
All right. Enough said about parking for
enough,
now.
Enough park until next time, Dan.
Until the next meeting.
Yes.
All right. Let's see. Administrators authorizing the city administrator to temporarily pay out police department vacation leave.
Yeah, what this is we're down two police officers right now in the department, and officers aren't able to take time off like they have owed to them. And so some things they've done in the past is they've allowed their vacation accrual to increase more, and so they add an extra 100 hours that they can accrue to without losing it. Because right now, if you hit a certain amount, 280 hours for the city, you lose the rest of your vacation. You don't accrue anymore. You lose anything above that. And so it's not really fair to tell somebody you can't take vacation. Oh, and by the way, you're up against the max, and so you're not going to accrue anymore either. So what we're doing is we're just going to pay them out as they accrue it, instead of setting, okay, if you hit the ceiling here, then we'll pay you out, or we'll readdress it. We're just going to pay out as it goes until we have additional officers hired. So that's all it was. More of an administrative thing, but council has taken action in the past on this type of thing, so we brought it back in front of them, and to let them know, right now we're down a couple officers, and so that's just kind of administratively what's going on with the police department. So,
okay. So are we actively searching for new police officers?
We are. Yep. Advertisement went out, I think, 2 weeks ago, and that process is long. That is not just apply, city hires you. It goes through the Civil Service Commission that has to first look at things, then they can bring officer or candidates in for interviews. They have to do testing. I mean, it's not just it's not your standard CAC worker that wants to come in and mm-hmm. get a few hours, you know, between classes at the college or something. It's way different than that. So it takes a lot of time. And we talked a lot about last night. Certified officers, uncertified officers, that if we hire somebody that's not certified, we have to put them through the academy, and you're looking at probably 9 to 12 months before they're on their own, able to do what a current officer can do. If you hire a certified officer, they're probably within 6 weeks they can be on their own once they know Wayne's protocols and stuff. Then they can pretty much be on their own after a little bit of training. So there's a big difference between the two. We have a $3,000 sign-on bonus for a certified officer this time around. A lot of departments are doing that because the couple comments last night from one council member was no one wants to be a police officer in today's world.
And the current climate in the country, yep. Yes.
But then we also have a council member who's a professor of criminal justice and says, you know, I've got record numbers here, and they do want to be police officers, just maybe not necessarily in Wayne, Nebraska. So, but Midwest is fighting with that a lot. Numbers are down, and a lot of people are looking right now. So, if you want to be a police officer, contact the city, and we can help you through that. Talk to Marlon Chin, the chief, and he can go through what it would entail and all that kind of stuff. And you don't have to have any experience whatsoever. So, there's an opportunity.
You will be trained.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely.
Okay. Have you seen any interest yet?
Yeah, we've got some things in the works. Let's just say that.
Okay.
But we are still advertising, and applications are still being taken. Yep.
Okay. Well, there, if you're looking for a career.
There you go. Yeah, absolutely. So that's the scripted council meeting per se. A couple other things I just wanted to mention. Sunnyview Park, the new playground feature is being installed as we speak. You know, they're setting some concrete poles and concrete and stuff like that. I don't know when the snow fence will be removed and you can actually start utilizing it. You're probably looking at sometime next week, late next week, something like that, depending on weather and all that. But it's going up pretty fast, so I don't know how long that stuff has to cure or anything like that, but we'll keep you updated on that. Excited about that. Bressler Park. Now Bressler Fest is over. You'll likely see some activity up there with our large, we call them sails, two different awnings that will be put up, and they'd like to put them up to take them down, because they're going to take them down every winter, but they'd like to get them up to see, make sure things fit and all that kind of stuff. So you may see that stuff going up here, hopefully shortly with that too. And then the last thing I had written down here was, we always like to talk about the lagoon, right, Dan? Nothing sexier always than the lagoon.
New fountain.
Well, no, the exciting part is we have all of our sludge spoken for. Should be hauled again, all weather permitting, should be hauled by next week sometime and spread. So our lagoon will be sludge free. Right?
That's always been the goal.
The goal is sludge free. Well, we can incorporate 6 inches of it. We can leave it on site, and we have done that. And so then Whaler's got the contract to remove the concrete. So we're hoping that gets done by spring for sure. And once that's done, we can really start working on planning for what do we want to see down there. Okay. I kind of tongue in cheek, I said something probably 6 months ago that I'd like to have a road or a pathway down there in spring of 2022. And a few people thought I was crazy, and I think I'm kind of crazy too. But the way things are going right now, it looks very promising that we could start doing some things, you know, next summer into next fall, and we could be hitting stuff pretty hard in the spring of 2022. So that's good news as well. Very good news.
We're looking forward to what happens there eventually.
And done not on the cheap, but more economical than we thought it was going to be. So I think we're doing a good job. Now we're spending a lot of staff time hauling sludge. We're using our own equipment, obviously our own fuel and all that kind of stuff. So it's not free by any means, but we're doing it the best we can. County has been very helpful with letting us use a maintainer down in our lagoon to spread some sludge around. And so we'll, at the end of the day, then we'll have a ribbon cutting for a lagoon decommission. Wouldn't that be fun, Dan?
You bet. maybe leave a little sledge. Send everybody home with a handful.
There you go. Everybody just took their share back, right? So now I know you pay to get rid of it, and some people are always upset about, why does it pay more to get rid of it than to, you know, drink the water or whatever? It's like, well, because it's a lot bigger process to get rid of water than just pump it. So, but
okay.
Anyway. That's what I had on the docket today.
Okay. Anything new COVID related these days?
No. You know, we have a leadership team meeting that meets every 2 weeks right now, and that's with like the school, the college, public health. Just watching it. We know things are kind of in the wrong direction right now. Again, be diligent with the protocols in place. You know, wear your mask, keep your distance, wash your hands, all the stuff that the CDC and the public health are telling you to do. Just please do it. We don't want to see any type of a shrinking of our what we have open and things like that. We don't want to be going backwards. But there are lots of cases around. I just saw something this morning about, you know, some very, very mild symptoms are turning into people have it. You know, they think it's common cold. They think it's just allergies. And they might not be getting sick from it, but they're spreading it to others. So that's the fear that you just don't know. So, but yeah, just be diligent about distance and that type of stuff, and hopefully we can get through it.
Okay. So, well, thanks for your time.
That's what I know, Dan. Okay.
We'll let you get back to work.
See you in a couple weeks.
All right. Thank you. Wes Blakey, Wayne City Administrator, again, our guest today on The View from Wayne America. The View from Wayne.
You've been listening to The View from Wayne America, Northeast Nebraska's longest-running public affairs radio program. Opinions expressed by our guest may not reflect those of this station. From politics to education, agriculture to business, we cover it all. Program content is copyrighted by Wayne Radio Works, LLC. The View from Wayne America.